In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Love-hate relationships have been around forever, at least for all of our lives. For those of you familiar with the history of Indiana University basketball, know of the love-hate relationship that the fans have with their former coach, Bobby Knight, how they loved the results that he got, that he won a lot of ball games, that he had one of the highest graduation rates in the country. But they hated the way he carried on the court and with some of his players. Perhaps you love the fact that such a spiritually oriented baseball team won the World Series. But you hate the fact of having to look there at Dusty Baker's 3-year-old son crying on his father's shoulder after they lost. We can also most likely think of our own personal love-hate relationships. They might be with humans. They might be with inanimate objects, such as Greek or Hebrew. But the love-hate relationship that our Lord is dealing with or speaking about in the text before us today, this gospel lesson appointed for the festival of St. Simon and St. Jude, is a little different. It addresses the love of the child of God for the Lord Jesus Christ and the hatred received from the world because of that love. The lesson is very fitting for this day of St. Simon and St. Jude as they shared an obvious love for their Lord. We sang of it in that verse of the sermon hymn. Their martyrdom is kind of up for grabs, though. There are a lot of traditions, but they're contradictory in some forms. Some say that they did indeed die a martyr's death, and others say that they died peacefully. The point is, however, that either way, they died serving, they died loving their Lord. And that in many and various ways they indeed suffered for the sake of the gospel. They suffered the hatred of the world because of their love for Jesus Christ. Perhaps many of you seminarians experienced the world's hatred upon making that decision, being led to that decision to change careers, to become a pastor. Why do you want to do that? That's all a bunch of hogwash to begin with. Can't you get a job anywhere else? You know, Jesus is just a crutch anyways. You've heard the lines. And let me clue you in, guys. It doesn't get any easier as a pastor. Pastor, we don't want to hear about the sacraments. We want to hear about Jesus. Pastor, I don't want to hear that confess that I'm a poor, miserable sinner. I want to hear that Jesus loves me. Don't tell me why he had to come. Just tell me that he loves me. Give me those 12 easy steps to a successful Christian life. And then there's a hatred that we face as a result of being part of the confessing body of Christ. What's wrong, after all, with praying with pagans? We're all going to the same place, we're just taking different roads. Isn't it rather narrow-minded to say that Jesus is the only way to heaven? How could such a loving God allow such hatred and such violence to exist in the world. And the list goes on and on. It's really the same kind of stuff that St. Simon and Jude faced in their day. It's just a different time. And Jesus comforts us, strengthens us with the same words that he used to strengthen Simon and Jude. He spoke these words to them and their fellow apostles. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. And for you and I today, these words should bring even more comfort. More comfort because you and I live post-resurrection. We know what Jesus was talking about. We know the end results of what he meant when he spoke these words to his disciples. He had told them about it, but we've seen it come to reality in our lives. We have seen the sin, we have seen the hatred of the world heaped upon our Lord's shoulders at Calvary. That is the evidence of how much the world hated and still hates him. But also, the evidence of how much he loves us. And then Christ assures us, as he assured his apostles, by pointing to the reason why the world hates his followers. Jesus said, "If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, and that is because you're not part of those people who find comfort in what the world does, or put their trust in what the world has for them, then Jesus speaks these words of comfort. But I chose you out of the world. I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you." Seems kind of odd to find comfort in the word hate, doesn't it? But yes, there is comfort there because we see that the hatred of the world was taken by Christ. All of the hatred of the world. The world's hatred and persecution should frighten you as little as it saddens you that you are not of the world. You should rejoice when you are hated and persecuted. Jesus said that in the Beatitudes. You should rejoice when you are hated and persecuted in the world, especially as you rejoice that you are chosen out of the world. As St. Paul wrote to the Philippians regarding standing up to the world, "And not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God." Now here, there was a homiletics class in the chapel when I came in. Here I'm going to break kind of one of the rules of homiletics by using a personal story, but it gets the point across. Yesterday, my son Benjamin was chosen out of this world. He was chosen out of this world as he received that washing of water and the word, as you and I received in our lives. Just like you and me, the hatred that he will face from the world because he is a baptized, confessing child of God has been taken by Jesus. And Jesus' life has become his. By God's grace in the years to come, that very body that was broken and that very blood that was shed as Jesus suffered the hatred of the world will touch his sinned, parched lips and life, and he will be restored. Tomorrow, we will have that very opportunity here in this chapel. And by the grace of God, he will have the comfort of hearing Christ's love that soothes the hatred of the world as his pastor speaks to him those comforting words of absolution. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We know that the suffering of the world is eternal and endless, but by God's grace, in His Word, in the waters of baptism, and in His body and blood given for the salvation of our souls, we are given a foretaste of that feast to come that awaits for us after we pass through the suffering and hatred of this world. Johann Gerhardt wrote on this text, "Then let the world hate and persecute. It will not change God's decree of our salvation or His promise of future glory, which is to follow upon our sorrow. May God grant us this through Jesus Christ, His Son. In Jesus' name, Amen."